Sharing the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ, letting you know that He loves you, He cares about you, and He wants to meet the need in your life. Welcome to the Lord's House and Messages on Demand. And now, today's message.
Praise the Lord. The dictionary defines family as this, and this is just one of several definitions. Any group of persons closely related by blood, as parents, children, uncles, aunts, and cousins. Now, we also know there are other definitions that can be included in that general description there. Also, those persons considered as descendants of a common progenitor. For example, here in the United States, it's fairly popular in the last several years to go back and check out your ancestry. And there are a number of places you can get that done. And I know that one particular site, the person says, I found out that one of my ancestors was George Washington. And I've also said, well, yeah, one of my ancestors was George Washington, too. His name was George Washington Unger. So, you know, but anyway, we could be considered to be part of that family if he was somewhere in the ancestral bloodline. And just recently, my wife and I returned from a short vacation with our daughters and their husbands and our two grandchildren. And I kind of began thinking about family as how it relates to us and how blessed that we were to have a close relationship with our daughters and their husbands and our two grandchildren. And even though the one daughter doesn't live close by, we still speak with her several times a week. And so it's nice to have that close relationship. And I know that for a lot of people, that's not always the case. Sometimes as parents, your children may move a long ways off. And in, there are cases where you never see them again, actually. And I know I grew up living hundreds of miles away from all but one of my aunts and uncles and my cousins. I didn't have a cousin that lived close by until I was 15 years old. And so I did not develop a relationship with family members outside my own parents and my sister. And as a result of that, there's not really a lot of bond between myself and other members of the family on both my mother's side and my father's side. In fact, a number of years ago, my wife and I had just returned from Germany and were looking for a church to attend, and we began attending this church and became acquainted with one of the families in the church. And as a result, we were sort of adopted into that family group. And they invited us to family functions and family dinners, all sorts of things. And over the years, I officiated at the weddings of some of their children, buried some of their dead, and we're still in contact with them and have a close relationship to some of that family to this day. In fact, I even halfway jokingly at one time said I thought I'd change my name to Smith because I felt more like a Smith than an Unger. Well, there's an old saying, you can choose your friends, but you can't choose your family. And we want to look at families in the Bible today. So let's begin back in Genesis where it all begins. And in Genesis chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, and Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. So one was a shepherd and the other was a farmer. And here we have the first true human family. But we go on just a couple of verses down in verse 8, and it says, And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him. Boy, you talk about getting off to a bad start. If you read just a couple of verses before that, you find out that they had both offered sacrifice unto God, and Cain's sacrifice was not accepted, and Abel's was. And instead of trying to find out why his sacrifice wasn't accepted, he just decided to get rid of his brother. So he killed off his brother. Well, realistically, we don't know how many children for sure that Adam and Eve had. They had to have had a fairly good number of children over the years. We do know that had other sons, Seth. That's the only one that's mentioned by name. But this family got off to a bad start. I mean, think about it, parents. How would you feel if one of your children killed the other child? You'd be devastated. And I'm sure that Adam and Eve were devastated as well when this happened. Well, we look on and we find another family. So we don't really hear a whole lot about what happened here. But we find another family in Genesis chapter 12. And it talks about a man by the name of Abram. Later on, he's known as Abraham. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So here's a little bit of what we know about this family. And I'm going to share some information here from the complete book of Who's Who in the Bible. And it says, and speaking about Lot, it says, Abraham's nephew, progenitor of both the Moabites and Ammonites. And like Abraham, he was born in Ur. When his father died, he was put in the care of his grandfather, Terah, and accompanied him and his uncle Abram to Haran in Genesis chapter 11, verses 27 through 32. And after the death of Terah, he joined Abram in the journey to Cana, and subsequently to Egypt and back to Cana. So Abraham, Lot's uncle, became really kind of sort of like a foster father there to Lot. And of course, if you read in the book of Genesis here, and those that are familiar with the story of Abraham, you find that they separated and Lot went to live in the big city, a place called Sodom. So then we learn also from the book, from the Bible, and also from what it says here in the book of Who's Who, while Lot was living in Sodom, four Mesopotamian kings, probably of small city-states, defeated the kings of the five towns in the area in battle. And then the subsequent plundering, they carried off Lot and his family and possessions. And when the word of the loss reached Abram, he launched a rearguard action against the invaders and recovered all the prisoners and the loot at Hobath, north of Damascus. And you can read that in Genesis chapter 14 and the Bible. So here we have it. They've traveled together for quite some time, been some places together, and Lot settles in Sodom, and Sodom is captured. He's taken prisoner. Abram gets word that his nephew, his family member, has been taken prisoner in this battle. And he gets together some other folks, and they mount up an action, and they go in and defeat those aggressors who had come in and taken Lot. And not only recapture Lot and the other prisoners, but they recapture their possessions as well and bring them back. So Abraham went to war, you might say, to get back his family member. And many of us would be the same way. They tell me that, you know, a lot of people who can be very meek and very mild and seem would never be an aggressor type, Yet, if something happens to threaten their family or themselves, that you're never quite sure how they might react. And I know while I was going through military training, they told those who were non-combatants that, you know, you don't know what you will really do if it comes down to it's you or them. And Abram was going to get his family member back. He went after him, and he did whatever it took to get them back. Well, how about some of these other families? As we go on, we get a little bit more description of some of the events that happened with some of the others. Because, you see, there's a couple of characters that are descendants of Abram. And their names are Esau and Jacob. Again, brothers. In fact, not only brothers, but twin brothers. Now, they're not identical twins. They're fraternal twins. But and they are different in appearance. We are told that Esau was kind of a hairy person. And, well, Jacob, he was a little more of a mama's boy when you read what the story has to tell us in Genesis. And so you find out about this, and you find that they conspire against one another. Actually, Jacob conspires against Esau, and you find that Esau comes back from the hunt. He's hungry, and Jacob says to his brother Esau, "Well, Esau, if you just sell me your birthright, I got a pot of beans here. I'll sell you for your birthright." And you can read in Genesis chapter 27 this story of how he conspires to get the birthright. And you find that there was great enmity between those two brothers for many years there. And there's still enmity today between members of between their descendants. So here you had a family that was a little bit dysfunctional there at times. And of course you find out as you read that Jacob, and Jacob's name was later changed to Israel, as you go ahead and read in the book of Genesis. And he had 12 sons. And one of those sons was a kid by the name of Joseph. And Joseph was kind of daddy's favorite. And daddy favored him to the extent that the other brothers were really kind of jealous. And then Joseph at one point tells his brothers of the dreams that God has given him, of how one day they will bow down to him and so on. And so they get him out in the field, out there where they're taking care of the sheep and doing whatever else they had to do. And they conspire to kill him. Now, one of the other brothers comes along and said, "Let's don't kill him, but instead let's sell him into slavery." And you can read that to them and find out that in Genesis chapter 37 there, what took place as they were preparing to kill Joseph, and then he's sold into slavery. And then if you read the chapters in between chapter 37 up to chapter 42, you find that Joseph goes into slavery, sold into bondage into Egypt. There he becomes a servant in Potiphar's house. He ends up then in prison for a number of years. And a lot of things are going wrong. And I can kind of imagine, I wonder if the thoughts went through his mind sometimes. "I had these dreams of all these things that were going to happen, but now I'm in jail." And sometimes in our life, we have to go through some hardships to get to the place that God wants us to be. And he was going through one of those rough times to get to the place that God wanted him to be, to get into the position that God needed him to be in. Well, we find as we go on and read the story there that Pharaoh has a dream. Joseph is called in to interpret the dream. He interprets the dream. He's made second in command in the land of Egypt. And famine, just as was prophesied there, was spoken of, was going to happen, took place. And we find that in chapter 42 that Joseph's brothers are sent down to Egypt to see if they can buy food, because that's the only place where it's available. And it says in chapter 42, verses 7 and 8, "And Joseph saw his brethren, and he knew them, but made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them." Now you've got to remember here, Joseph didn't look like a member of their family anymore. He dressed like an Egyptian. He looked like an Egyptian. He talked like an Egyptian. So he pretended, yes, I'm an Egyptian. Because if we read here in verse 7 of chapter 42, and Joseph saw his brethren, he knew them not, and made himself strange unto them, and spake roughly unto them, and said unto them, Whence come ye? And they said, From the land of Canaan to buy food. And Joseph knew his brethren, but they knew him not. And if you go ahead and you read over the next couple of chapters here, you find that he puts them through the paces here a little bit, and actually causes them a little bit of grief here and anxiety, because he takes their youngest brother Benjamin and wants to hold him hostage, and or one of the other brothers rather, wants Benjamin brought to him, and before he will give them the food that they want. And then in chapter 45, verse 1, it says, Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, Cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. Finally, he breaks down and says, I'm your brother Joseph. Oh, there was a family reunion there, but I'm not quite sure how the other brothers were feeling right at that point. They were maybe a little afraid. After all, they had conspired to kill this brother. And now, this brother could turn out to be their savior. Well, if you go ahead and read the story in the book of Genesis there, you find out that he had the family brought down, and the children of Israel lived 400 years in the land of Egypt. And then it takes us on into the book of Exodus, where we find that they are then headed back to the promised land that God had given unto them. Well, throughout history, we read of various families, and that's just a couple of families that are in the Old Testament. And some of the families we read about, you might could call the good, the bad, and even the ugly. We've also can read in history some very important families. There's been a lot of important families throughout history. A lot of them affected, and maybe in some cases did infect, our world as we know it today. And in various countries, we have particular families who are considered the most important family. For example, in England, you have the king and queen. And although today the queen is more of a figurehead, she's still very important and revered by those who are subjects of that country. Other countries, you may have a president, as we do here in the United States. And the president and his family are called the first family. And we even go into some churches today, and particularly in African American churches, I know that the pastor and his wife are called the first family of the church, and the wife is the first lady of the church. And they are considered to be an important, or the important family of that church. So there are some families that are in a place of importance. A number of years ago, Bill and Gloria Gaither wrote a song, and I remember singing it in church many, many years ago, and still hearing it every once in a while, although I've not heard it in years, and maybe we should sing it a little more often in church. It was called, I'm So Glad I'm a Part of the Family of God. And here's a little bit of the chorus of it. I'm so glad I'm a part of the family of God. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as we travel this sod. For I'm part of the family of God. You see, one way we can get into a family is to be adopted into that family. Now, I've known various people that have adopted children into their family, and they take on the same last name. They take on all the benefits of other family members. And we are adopted, we are told, into the family of God. And here's what Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 17 have to tell us about this. It says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." You know, in Hebrew, the word father is Abba. So basically, we're crying, Abba, 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 Father, Father, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. Let's back up to that chorus again. I've been washed in the fountain, cleansed by his blood, joint heirs with Jesus as I travel this sun. I want you to think about it. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are part of the most important family in the entire universe. You are part of the most important family in all of creation. That's whose family you belong to. And just as Abraham went to rescue Lot, get him back from those that had captured him, and just as Joseph spent many years falsely accused and in prison, later on to save his family, God so loved us. Oh, that most familiar scripture, even the atheists probably know this one, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And I love the way that this is translated in the Complete Jewish Bible. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only and unique Son, so that everyone who trusts in him may have eternal life instead of being utterly destroyed." And John 3:17 goes on to read, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." We as Christians are part of the greatest family that's ever existed. Think about that. Part of the greatest family that's ever existed. Because we are part of the family of Yahweh God, the creator of all things. What about our future as part of this family? You know, sometimes family members like to know what their future in the family is. In Revelation chapter 1, verses 4 through 6, it tells us this, "John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins with his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen." So it tells us there, kings and priests. And then it goes on in Revelation 5, verses 6 through 10. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne of the four beasts, in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four beasts and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hath redeemed us to God by the blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. And listen to this one now, verse 10. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Here it is, folks, in God's Word. If you're part of the family, you are a king and priest unto God, and we shall reign with Him on earth. Oh, what a glorious time that's going to be. You know, I've heard recently many people talking about heaven. And there are a lot of things about heaven that we're not told. And sometimes we get things confused, what the Word is saying about heaven, and get it confused a little bit with what it's describing of the New Jerusalem. But I can tell you this, folks, it's going to be a glorious place. It's a place you don't want to miss. It's a place you want to be. And there's only one way to be there. And that's to be a part of this great family. You ask me, how do I get to be a part of this great family? It's very simple. What you do is you call upon the name of the Lord. Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And there's only one way to be saved, and that's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus himself said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and there is no other way. And I don't care what you've been told and who you've been told by. Unless you are told that the only way to salvation is through the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed on the cross of Calvary, you cannot be saved. My friends, today, if you're listening and you've not become part of this great family, I invite you to do so today. I invite you to ask Jesus Christ to come into your heart. And it's so very simple. And I know many people have what we call the sinner's prayer. But really all you've got to do is with your open heart, cry out, Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. And I come before you now and I ask you to come into my heart. I ask you to forgive me of my sins and to cover them with your blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. And make me a part of this great family today. I ask it now in Jesus' name. And if you prayed that prayer today, and you can go to our website, and there's a page called the Salvation Page. And it gives you a number of scriptures, and I invite you to go look that up. If you can at all, read those scriptures. Some of you may not even have a Bible that are listening, but those scriptures are there for you. If you can find a way to get to a computer and get on the website, they're there for you to find. God loves you. He wants you to be a part of His family. Jesus loves you. He wants you to be your adopted brother. He wants you to be part of that family. Won't you do so today? Please ask Him into your heart today. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope that you have been blessed by this message and that you will invite your friends to listen. If you would like to contact us, please visit our website at www.tlhf.us. You can also contact us by email at pastor@tlhf.us or by post at the Lord's House at P.O. Box 1348, Spring Hill, Tennessee, 37174. Messages on Demand is a Didaskalos production and a ministry of the Lord's House Fellowship Incorporated. Thank you.